Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
ELC.
DLC listeners, patrons, we got a good one for you. We got some bonus content coming your way right now. I'm Jeff Cannata. I'm joined by Christian Spicer. Hello, Christian.
Hello, Jeff. I'm excited for this. I love when we get to like pop open the hood, so to speak, and kick the tires. You don't hold tires in the hood, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, we're kicking the hood, popping the tires, all the things, all the car references. We have a special guest joining us right now. He is a GeForce evangelist at NVIDIA. Welcome, Jacob Freeman, to the show. Hey, Jacob, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing good, man. Very excited to have you here. You are here explicitly to talk about Alan Wake 2 and the all the advancements. Christian and I both were just wowed by the visuals in Alan Wake 2, and it's sort of a piece with a number of recent releases lately that are utilizing DLSS 3.5 and some new bells and whistles from NVIDIA. So the first thing I want to know, we reached out to our patrons and asked them, you know, what they were curious about hearing from you. And I think this is the first question that I would ask. And it comes actually from our patron Yick, who says, I want to understand the difference between DLSS 3.0 and DLSS 3.5. Is 3.5 a successor to 3.0, as the versioning suggests, or are they intended to coexist?
Yeah, so DLSS 3.5 is basically the latest iteration of DLSS. And, you know, DLSS is a suite of technologies. So, for example, DLSS 3.5, the new addition is ray reconstruction. That's what was introduced in DLSS 3.5. However, under the DLSS 3.5 umbrella, there's a number of technologies which include like frame generation, which was introduced in DLSS 3. It includes super resolution for better performance, and also DLAA, which is also under the 3.5 umbrella as well.
So it is really a successor, although there are games that only support 3.0, and then some of these newer games are supporting 3.5, right?
Right, yeah. Just, you know, just like, for example, when somebody says DLSS 3, they're typically referring to frame generation.
Right.
Which is a part of 3.5 as well. But if you have a game that calls out specifically 3.5, that indicates that it supports the ray reconstruction feature, which is the new feature that is in a few titles like Cyberpunk, Phantom Liberty, and the expansion, and also Alan Wake 2.
So good. I'd love, just for a second, to kind of, if we can, talk about that naming convention of some of the technology. We've talked about on this show before, and certainly our audience and other gamers have talked about, oh, ray tracing is incredible. You know, ray tracing, what I would call in layman's terms, ray tracing 1.0, which was only one tiny thing being reflected. And now it's full ray tracing or path tracing. Yep. And I'm curious, as you all and others in the industry are pushing that tech forward and kind of on the forefront of it, what thought goes into, hey, we need to dumb this down for people like me, Christian Spicer, to be able to understand when Apple says, hey, this is a Retina display. Mm-hmm. No one knows what that is, you know, like what the pixel density is. But they're like, right, hey, that's what this is. And you want it because we put a funny name on it. And I feel like sometimes with this new tech, the average consumer, or even more than average, you know, you're enthusiast consumer might not fully appreciate the difference when it's a number, when it's, you know, the Sony TV 24X1, 24-23-19 versus some other alphabet soup. And I'm curious what goes into that and how you kind of make things consumer friendly or focused.
Yeah. Well, the idea with the naming, you know, it's kind of like what I mentioned before is that, you know, by just saying DLSS 3.5, it's not really indicating, you know, a very specific feature of it. So DLSS is a suite of technologies. And, you know, we try to make it as easy to understand as possible. There's a few, we have a few charts on our on the site that kind of break down what's included in 3, what's included in 3.5. But, you know, it's when you're talking about specific features like frame gen or RAG reconstruction or super resolution, you know, you can indicate them by just pointing out their name specifically as opposed to the suite of technology, which may be easier to kind of digest if you're talking about a specific feature.
Well, let's dig into those specific features then, because ray reconstruction is, you know, it may not be the most self-evident term. I know that we kind of have an idea of what ray tracing is, right? But can you talk about the differences between ray tracing and ray reconstruction and why it is something that gamers can get excited about?
Yeah, so ray reconstruction was the new feature that's in Alan Wake 2 as well. And what it's doing is it's essentially replacing the denoisers that that are built into games that use ray tracing. So, for example, if you take a ray trace title in the past, you may see, like, on a lot of the reflections, maybe they're not that accurate, maybe they're kind of blurry. And that is because the game engine is using a denoiser to try to clean up that image. And so with ray reconstruction, what it's doing is essentially replacing that denoiser with an AI variant, which, as it turns out, AI is very good at denoising images. So what you'll get is you'll get more realistic reflections, clearer reflections specifically, and more true to life, more accurate shadows, things of that nature. So it looks better, basically. And the other great thing about ray reconstruction is not only does it look better, there's no impact to performance. In some cases, it actually runs faster. So it's almost a win-win situation with ray reconstruction.
Wow. That kind of leads right into another one of our patron questions. Hank Patton says, how has NVIDIA's work on AI LLMs impacted the consumer side of the video cards? Mm-hmm. He says, I know DLSS is related to machine learning, but I don't know if it's explicitly related to NVIDIA's breakthroughs on improving model training. For example, has any of NVIDIA's work on parallelizing processes made notable impacts on the gaming side of the business?
Yeah, so DLSS basically would not have been possible without all the work that we're doing in AI. And you could say the same for ray reconstruction as well. And so, you know, AI kind of continues to be on the forefront of any breakthroughs that we have in DLSS or gaming tech. And it just continues to get smarter and better. You know, it's light years ahead of where, you know, DLSS 1.0 to where it is today. It's light years ahead of where it was. So yeah, I mean, it's pretty exciting times right now. And again, you know, without any of the breakthroughs and the work that we did with AI, you know, all of this would not have been possible.
It's certainly something that has blown us away, Christian, right? You and I think we went gaga over DLSS 3.0 because of the frame generation. Like, I have a hard time playing games that don't have it now, because when I have it, it's so much smoother, so much crisper,
yeah,
and it looks so beautiful.
Yeah.
So you're right. We're in this crazy time where these leaps are happening so quickly, and they're having such a huge impact on the, you know, at home gaming experience. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing about frame gen, more so than just the performance, you know, increase, obviously, is that FrameGen has basically enabled all these features. If you think about it, you know, real-time path tracing is not playable today without some form of DLSS or frame generation.
That's my favorite game to play when every new game comes out. Like when Portal came out with it, and then it, with Cyberpunk and Alan Wake, it's turn everything on and then turn off the tech that allows me to run it and watch computers struggle. You know, like Hamster gets so tired and it's like 2 frames per second. And I'm like, this is, I mean, it's, I'm trying not to exaggerate, but it's truly mind blowing what is possible because we're not brute forcing it. I think for so much of my life as a gamer, the answer has always been, you know, brute force, bigger hammer, pound harder. Yeah. And seeing what this suite of technologies can bring to it and what AI in this space can bring to it. And like you said, make possible. I mean, it's stunning to me.
Yeah, it's all about being smarter. And if you look, you know, if you were to ask any game developer or anyone 5 years ago, would we be able to play a path trace game at 60 frames per second? You know, it would be almost unfathomable to be able to do that. But because of these breakthroughs and because of DLSS and because of frame generation, it is possible today, which is pretty amazing.
I'm curious about the, you know, as an end user, I am using an NVIDIA GPU, and a new big game like Alan Wake 2 comes out, and a few days before, there's a new driver. There's a new NVIDIA official GeForce driver that is specific to the game. And I'm curious, what does that really mean? What is the process of optimizing the video driver for specific games?
Yeah, so when the game-ready driver comes out, that's usually the latest driver, which may have other fixes as well. But in particular, it offers the best experience for, you know, for example, if we take Alan Wake 2, that game-ready driver will offer the best experience for Alan Wake 2. And that could be things like, you know, the best performance or maybe bug fixes or it could be other things as well. But, you know, basically it's met a quality level that a gamer would expect. And
if the developers of Alan Wake 2, you know, Remedy, if they're working on building a game for PC, they're building it for, you know, obviously for an engine, for graphics cards that exist, for drivers that exist. Is NVIDIA sort of working back and forth with individual developers on those game ready drivers? How does that work exactly?
Yes. Yeah. You know, we work with we have a whole team dedicated to working with game developers, and you know, with Remedy specifically, you know, we've been working with them for years, even, you know, five plus years or longer, you know, even back to Control when Control came out. And so it's an ongoing, you know, we have ongoing interaction with them, and you know, they help us find bugs, we fix bugs, and the game ready driver that comes out is basically all of that, all of the performance improvements, all the bug fixes, you know, right there in the driver.
I'm curious. I don't know how to ask this, Jeff and Jacob, so I apologize. But it's the idea of, like, that's not necessarily what percentage of people adopt the newest driver, but more so maybe what that delta is of not everybody's going to update their driver because people are lazy and dumb and, again, myself included. When I say people, I'm talking yeah. about me, or miss an update or something like that, and how much that can affect or impact performance,
right?
And versus no, you really need this because otherwise you'll be on the message board or on social media being like, game runs like trash, no good, don't buy X developer game. And meanwhile, I'm sure you all are pulling out your hair being like, no, you need to do the thing we said to do. And I'm curious how you kind of balance that.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's going to really come down to on a game-by-game basis. You know, in most situations, the previous driver likely runs the game perfectly fine. It's just that the latest version may have a few optimizations here and there, or bug fixes. But obviously that's going to vary depending on the game. But in general, if you are playing this game, for the best experience, we would recommend updating the driver.
Mm-hmm. We have a question from Aaron McLeod, one of our patrons, and he wants to sort of compare DLSS to, you know, technology that you can find in televisions. It's common in televisions now with the True Motion and some of that motion smoothing tech, which he finds to be a turnoff with TVs. Is is there any relationship to be drawn there or comparison to be drawn there from your perspective?
Not really. So, you know, if you look at True Motion or the soap opera or whatever you call it on television, I think each television calls it something different.
Yeah.
Generally,
should be off. Just turn it off.
Yeah. I mean, generally, like if you enable game mode on a television, it turns all that stuff off. And the reason for that is because it adds a ton of latency.
Right.
I'm talking about the TVs add a ton of latency. So they're generally not that good for gaming. However, DLSS is completely different because the nature of the graphics card and the driver and everything else, we have access to the engine and motion vector data that tells us, you know, where objects should be placed, and it allows us to basically use AI to generate a frame. And that's why it works so good, because it, you know, it's using pretty advanced algorithms to actually generate a frame. And on top of that, we also have Reflex, which helps to reduce latency. And so it's a combination of these technologies which make DLSS so good, and why it seems like some sort of magic, you know?
Yeah, it really does. And I think people, you know, we're very fortunate, Christian and I, to have, you know, 40 series cards. And I don't think, if you haven't seen it, I don't think you kind of realize what a huge deal DLSS 3 and 3.5 are.
It's because, you know, most people, their experience with similar technologies is like what you exampled, the True Motion or, you know, whatever it's called. But, you know, I would say that DLSS is just, it's not even comparable to that. And anybody who has used both of them, I think they would very likely say the same, that frame gen is really good and pretty compelling.
Yeah. Well, so that leads me to my next question, which is, why isn't it in everything? You know, what is the impediment for it being in every game? There are more and more games shipping with support for DLSS 3 and 3.5, but is it something where NVIDIA is coming into individual partnerships with developers, or how does that process work?
Or in my real life, my oldest child's animation is very choppy.
Yeah.
She's a real stick figure out there.
Let's be honest. She's pretty obsolete, Christian.
Oh no, throw her in the trash. No.
For that one, you know, it really comes down to the game integration. So in order, you know, part of the reason why it works so well is because it's integrated into the game pretty deeply. So for this, we need to work with a developer to integrate. And, you know, we continue to work with more and more. And, you know, it's in a lot of titles today, continuing to be more titles. So, you know, we hope that we can have as much adoption as possible, because, like I said, it's pretty great tech.
Yeah.
So we encourage all developers to work with us and integrate it if possible. And likewise, you know, we work with them pretty closely to help them do all the integration as well.
I just need it in Starfield, please. In Starfield, as soon as possible.
It's coming.
Yeah,
it's coming.
I know.
I'm going to ask a question that maybe makes me sound smarter than I am. It's out of my depth of expertise, but something I see talked about in terms of, like, I don't know what the actual lift is or ask of this. But in terms of integrating this stuff into a developer's tech stack or game engine, broadly speaking, I'm not asking for like secrets, trade secrets, but how big of a lift is it for, you know, maybe an indie dev or even a large dev to say, hey, this is important to us. We want this at launch, but we're also launching in whatever, 4 months, 6 months, 2 years. Like, at what point does that need to be, again, broadly kind of scoped into the project folks are working on?
Well, it depends on, you know, there's a lot of variables at play there. You know, for example, like if it's Unreal Engine, you know, we have pretty good integration already with Unreal Engine. So it's not that difficult to implement it at that level. If it's an in-house engine, you know, it may need more development time. But generally, it's relatively easy to implement most of it. Specifically like DLSS Super Resolution, which you may have seen, you know, there's even modders who implement it in games after the game has shipped. So it's relatively not that difficult to implement. Frame generation needs a little bit more developer integration. But there's so many variables. It's hard to say an exact time, but obviously the sooner the better to ensure that it offers the best experience.
Yeah, I saw people modding it into Skyrim and Skyrim VR. It's pretty rad. Yeah,
that stuff is what blows my mind. Again, as like an older, you know, PC gamer, again, back to Alan Wake 2 as well, going in and, you know, dialing in, you know, my settings that are recommended and playing with things and seeing what it can run natively. And I personally still have this little bit of a disconnect of render resolution being, you know, what it can be, as quote unquote low it can as it can be, and still have my image look crisp. Because there was a time, not too long ago, it seems, where that was not the case. It was like, oh yeah, we'll upscale it for you or whatever, you know, whatever it was going to be. And no, you weren't, game. That looks real bad. And now with Alan Wake 2, you know, I think I'm running it primarily on performance, which I forget the native resolution of what that is running. Maybe it's 1080, but the output is 4K. And I truly would question anybody to come into my office and look at the screen and tell me they're not looking at a native 4K image. And I wonder if there's any other perception out there from gamers that you kind of have to overcome this stigma of, no, this is the best, even though it might not be what you're used to as seeing as quote unquote native resolution.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think about it, the quote unquote native resolution, I mean, ultimately we all want the final image to look the best. And so we want the output to be as close to 4K as possible if you're running 4K.
Sure.
And if you,
yeah,
you know, in the case of DLSS, you have a few different settings. You have performance, you have balanced, and then you have quality. Performance gets pretty close to a native 4K resolution. Balanced and quality are obviously a bit better. And in some cases, the interesting thing here is that in some cases, especially the higher quality versions of DLSS, like DLSS quality, can offer a better, even better image than the native implementation. And that's because, you know, kind of like with Ray Reconstruction, the AI algorithm does a pretty good job of cleaning up like aliasing and, you know, maybe shimmering, things like that. So in a lot of cases, if the game has a native, specifically, especially if it's like a TAA implementation, a lot of times the DLSS implementation can look even better, which is, again, you know, pretty amazing because it runs significantly faster and in many cases looks better as well, just like with Ray Reconstruction. So I really think that, you know, when it comes to like the native versus the DLSS, you know, it does kind of require a change of perception. You know, this is not, you know, the old upscaling tech. This is something completely different. And it's again, you know, just like frame generation, just like Ray Reconstruction, it's very compelling and enabling new levels of detail, you know, like with path tracing in Alan Wake 2.
Yeah. Our patron, Jose Cordova asked a really interesting question specifically about Alan Wake being a franchise that has been picked up, you know, over a decade later. And the fact that light and darkness is such a big theme in both games. Mm-hmm. He wants to know, has the technology allowed them to do new things in this game? Is there anything that the first game just, it wasn't possible, and now because, you know, light is able to be calculated in the way it is with ray tracing, that they're able to do in the game?
Yeah. Well, this is, you know, one of the, there's a handful of titles out there. This is one of them that supports path tracing, which is currently the most advanced form of lighting found in games. It's actually simulating the the way the light rays behave in real life. You know, like when you have an object that's emitting light, you know, it's not just a light. It's actually bouncing off surfaces. It's reflecting off of things, whether or not that surface is reflective or not. You know, the light, when you look around the room, light is actually bouncing off objects, and you'll get, you know, lights that bounce from this object to that object. And so what path tracing is doing is basically simulating the light rays as they emit from the light source. So things like reflections look true to life. Shadows look very realistic. And so with Alan Wake 2, especially when you enable path tracing, you know, you're getting extremely true to life reflections, lighting, shadows. And Alan Wake 2 can actually support 3 bounces. So, you know, like I said, light is bouncing around, hitting things, and Alan Wake 2 at the highest setting can support 3 bounces, which is very realistic lighting.
That's awesome. Yeah, and it shows. That game is just stunning to look at, and it's terrifying too, but stunning. Mostly the stunning part. I love this question from Jennifer Hall, one of our patrons. She says, I recently purchased a high-tier NVIDIA graphics card. How do I make sure I'm utilizing it to its full potential? Mm-hmm. I love this question. We've already talked about, you know, installing the newest drivers, but is there anything else that she can do, or we can all do to maybe ensure that?
Well, the good news is, you know, it's pretty much plug and play for the most part. You know, there are a lot of features on the card that you may want to utilize. Like there's NVIDIA Broadcast, if you guys aren't familiar with that, that can help. Like if you're doing streaming or if you're doing audio recording, it can help eliminate background noises. There's things like virtual green screen. So if you don't have a green screen, you know, it can basically create a green screen for you.
That gave me Alan Wake's writer's room background for our Halloween episode. I didn't need to do anything to my office. It was all NVIDIA Broadcast, and I loaded in the image, done and done. It was great.
Yeah, it works great. And, you know, there's other features like GeForce Experience, which can help set the graphic settings in all the games on your PC to the appropriate levels. But there's also settings in the game that you may want to enable, like NVIDIA Reflex for reducing latency. So again, you know, it is plug and play for the most part. But you know, if you want to get the best experience, then you know there's quite a lot of features that you may want to check out. And if you aren't familiar with those features, then I would check out GeForce Experience, as that actually does a lot of it for you.
Is there any reason why a lot of the DLSS 3 and 3.5 features are you have to opt into them in most games? You have to go into the settings and turn them on. Is there a reason for that?
Well, I think I'm not 100% sure on this, but I think each game developers have their own set of requirements for what can be enabled by default or not enabled by default. But, you know, I would recommend GeForce Experience. Again, as you know, that you can hit one button and it'll set the best settings for your PC, so you don't have to worry about all that stuff. You know, GeForce Experience knows your hardware, it knows what graphics card you have in there, so it kind of knows what settings to enable and you know, enable and disable to get the best experience. So that would be the easiest way to do it.
I think awesome. I talked about this years ago when I really kind of got back into PC gaming, and that, and I don't remember the episode, Jeff, when I talked about it at length, but that really took a lot of the analysis paralysis of PC gaming away for me. Like I would be so concerned about what settings to use and how to tweak what and what to do what, and I have like my 8 blog posts up that I'd be reading, you know, to get the best experience. And I will still admittedly tweak things past what GeForce Experience recommends, and I'm like, yeah, you know what, I'm going to fine tune this, that, or the other. But man, it is nice to have what I would air quote call a console experience of click it and forget it.
Yeah, and for a lot of people who are like new to PC gaming, a lot of that can be pretty overwhelming. You know, like what is all these settings? What is anisotropic filtering? What is anti-aliasing?
Yeah, right.
You know, and if you crank all that up on a lower end card, you know, it may not have the best experience. So, you know, it's nice to have a kind of one-click option, you know, if you aren't familiar or don't want to spend all day tweaking settings, you know, the GeForce Experience is a pretty good option.
All right. Well, we'll end on this question, which I think, you know, is the most important question that you will answer. And you are uniquely qualified to answer it as a GeForce evangelist. Jacob, okay. Stephen Dillard, our patron, asks for an official statement on a term that Christian and I have coined and used frequently here on the podcast. We call them beefy jeepies.
Beefy jeepies. I like that.
Beefy jeepies. Yeah. When you get a really good graphics card, really great, you know, like the 40 series NVIDIA cards are beefy jeepies. So Stephen is asking for an official statement on how NVIDIA, as a spokesman for NVIDIA, how NVIDIA feels about the term beefy jeepies, and if they will consider using it as a quantifiable metric on the back of the box.
No one wants teraflops anymore. We want to know how many beefy jeepies.
Is the jeepy beefy?
Why the back of the box? Maybe it should be on the front of the box.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Get rid of that pesky GeForce name. Call it the beefy jeepy.
You know what? I like that name. And, you know, I'll put it in as a suggestion, and I'll let you know. I'll let you know where it goes.
There you go. You heard it here first, folks. It is confirmed. They will be officially called beefy jeepies going forward. Jacob Freeman, thank you so much for being here. Alan Wake 2 is just another example of how gorgeous games can look on PC with these NVIDIA cards and the tech that's going on under the hood. So it was awesome to get a little insight into that. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.